The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Friday, July 17th, rolling into the weekend. Another weekend in a pandemic. What's not to love? In the feed, we have franchise tag deadline reaction, a great show. Myself, Ryan Wilson, John Breach, and Jared Dubin break down the lack of Dak Prescott getting a contract. There is a, you may want to use 1.5 speed if you want to get through Dubin's 10-minute, 24-second rant about Dak Prescott. But it's entertaining. And if you want to see three other human beings completely check out for 10 minutes to 24 seconds, go look at us on YouTube, where the whole episode is up there. And you can go to youtube.com/pick6. We now have a vanity URL. And make sure and subscribe. If you listen to this podcast, go to that webpage and maybe open it up in your app and hit the subscribe button on YouTube, because we need the subscriptions. We're in a race against it's like a Girl Scout cookie sales race, and we need those subscriptions. So please go and do that. Breach, you have been making hand gestures for like 30 seconds trying to say something. What's up?
I was just waving to all our YouTube listeners. But also, I just want to say that, like, you can't really blame us for checking out. Brinson, you have the attention span of a cat. So, like, there was no way you were going to last 10 minutes. You interrupt me and Wilson after 10 seconds. So if anyone thought you were going to last 10 minutes and not check out, that's just impossible. Wilson can go about 8 minutes. I can go about 4 minutes, but we all have our limits. But it was a good rant. I went back and listened to it today. I listened to what I checked out on it. I checked out after about 7 minutes. But good job, Dubin.
Ranking the divisions is what we are doing today. Breach, John Breach wrote a story. About time you wrote something, Breach, for the love of God. I mean, you never write anymore.
Been on paternity leave for 3 months. What do you want from me, Brinson?
3 months?
Try to raise a baby.
How's that baby doing?
The baby actually put these divisional rankings together for me to make my life easier.
I feel like my wife, AK, has commented multiple times on how good-looking your baby is.
His baby is extremely cute. I sent Breach a text a few months ago that the only thing keeping my wife going through all that's happened in 2020 are the baby pics that Rachel Breach's wife puts on Facebook and Instagram.
And after before we got the podcast, that text, Ryan said, "Who's had a good 2020?" He's like, "Breach had a baby." Sure.
And after I showed that text to Rachel, she's like, "All right, I'm going to up the baby picture." So she doubled the baby picture content to keep Wilson's wife happy. It's the wife inner circle. Keeps the world rolling here.
Your child has a crazy full head of hair.
Yeah. And by the way, there's something to be said. I'm sure she'll grow up to be a beautiful young woman. There's something to be said for like plump babies. You don't want
a fat baby.
That's right.
You don't want to say plump. You want a fat baby. That's why it's called baby fat. You want a fat baby.
You want a baby you can squeeze. You want a baby that's arms and legs are so fat, like the head looks like they have little rubber bands around their wrists and their ankles.
Okay, so I see that it looks like you posted a meme, or your wife. Okay, this is perfect. So I don't feel bad about saying this. Your wife posted a picture of on June 27th. Okay, but why does my baby look like Brendan Urie during his early Panic at the Disco days? So, one, she's not wrong, and then two, I would also point out that the lovely Annabelle Breach has a little
female Zoolander to her. You see that?
The hairdo, sure.
Like the hairdo and like the steely gaze, like she's very inquisitive. You can see through her look that she has that, what's the best? I was going to say, Breachian shenanigans about her.
I will say this.
She has some mischief about
her. We've been spending the past 3 months working on Blue Steel, and she's getting close, guys. She's getting close.
Breach, you're bearing the lead. At 3 months old, she's already taller than you.
That is true. Taller and more hair. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, she has more hair than me. Give her that.
I take the baby out in public, and they're like, is that your sister? I'm like, no, it's my baby. My God. But so we've only been out in public twice because of the pandemic, though.
Yeah, pandemic's a problem. Be safe out there, people. Hope that you enjoyed the podcast and all our off-season ramblings. We haven't gotten any heat from it yet, and it may be because it's a pandemic off-season. Last year, we got a lot of like angry comments that our off-season podcast were too like
football specific enough in the middle of June and July.
I mean, yeah, and so I appreciate people not doing that this season. You know what though? That may be a Debo thing. Debo keeps us a little more focused.
When did you join this circus?
August 12th, 2019. I will never forget that date.
That adds up though. The math adds up because last summer Debo wasn't here to nudge Brinson back on track and he would just go off the rails. We're talking like train track ending up, you know, one going to California ends up in Canada. That's how far Brinson goes off the rails. And now that Debo's here, he just kind of.
Debo, are you on the YouTube show today? You're on the video currently.
No. You cannot see me on YouTube.
All right. That's a shame. You should, you know, a lot of times what happens, you see this happen a lot.
Started 20 years ago.
I wasn't producing.
I'm trying to make it from day one, baby.
You see the producer step into a role, a content role. Could it happen?
Can I say, everybody that unfollowed Sean, please go follow him again. I feel bad at this point, like 2 weeks later.
His numbers are way down. I checked
Sean J. Wagner. He is below 4,000. Let's get him back above that.
Below 4,000, he's below 3,400.
No, he hit 3,400. He was a little bit over that. I don't know exactly what it was. So he was
like 3,405 and he's down to like 3,372.
And subscribe to his newsletter. You just have to click on it. You don't actually have to read it. He just wants you to click on it. That's it.
Well, look, if you're going to refollow him, let me just say this quickly. If you're going to refollow him and leave him a message saying, I'm doing this for you, Spanky Winkman, and then follow him.
In other Twitter drama news, you may recall that Pete Prisco blocked me and Nick Kostos on Twitter.
Oh, I didn't know he blocked Nick as well.
Yes, because we were annoying him with our Scott Fishbowl tweets. Right. He unblocked me like the day after and just didn't say anything. But when you block somebody, you unfollow them and it forces you, the person that you blocked, to unfollow you as well. Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden I realized that I wasn't following Pete and Pete wasn't following me. I have followed him back days ago. And I've gotten no reciprocity. Pete Prisco follows 1,900 people, and one of them is not.
So the lesson I'm taking away is I should fake block you, and that way I don't have to follow you back when I can quit having to read your tweets. Got it. Awesome.
That's right. There you go, Ryan.
Prisco's been playing the long game, man. He's been playing this for years. How do I get out of following Brinson without looking mean? He did it. He pulled it off. This is actually impressive.
All right, so let's get to the division rankings. You can get the link for Breach's story. How many minutes are we in now? 20?
I know. There's no way we're getting this done in time.
The link to Breach's story is in the description of the podcast. And so check that out. Number 8. And this is, what's the criteria here, Breach? Best just like overall team.
Top to bottom. It is just how good are you top to bottom? Because the entire division. The Chiefs are awesome.
So like the Chiefs aren't the
best division.
Okay. So like the Chiefs are the best team in football, clearly. And I think we all agree on that. But them being the number one team in football doesn't propel their division to the top.
Correct.
Okay. So what is the worst division in football?
That is where we're starting. You know what? It is the NFC East. And here's the thing is if everybody remembers watching football last year, because it kind of feels like it was 20 years ago because of this whole pandemic, the NFC East was complete trash. And you had everyone on Twitter talking about it at all times. Cowboys fans, Eagles fans, Debo, right? The whole division was trash last year.
Fair. That's very fair.
See? Very fair. They didn't have anyone win 10 games. They only had one team finish above 500, and it was just a total disaster. And one thing I will say is that they went 12-28 in out-of-division games. So the four teams combined to go 12-28, which is total disaster. It was two games away from being the worst combined non-divisional record ever. So that's how bad it was. Great. I don't think it's going to be much better in 2020. So they are ranked last.
They only had one coach on Spanky Wankman's top 10 list, and he was ranked ninth. So that.
And also, that was the only coach who didn't get fired.
That bolsters your
point. Oh, yeah. Three of the four coaches got fired, one midseason. And then one of the coaches who got fired actually went to another NFC East team, as Jason Garrett is the offensive coordinator for the New York Giants now. Do you think that this is a two-horse race?
Yes. I think it's either Eagles or Cowboys. I don't think the Giants improved enough. This is a 4-12 team last season. Like, maybe they go 6-10, 7-9, but I don't think they're going to flip it and win 9 or 10 games. The the Washington NFL team, this is like saying San Diego and LA when the Chargers move, I'm going to eventually get used to it. But the Washington NFL team, they're in total disarray.
The Redskins have just been racist for 100 years.
They're not going to compete this year. Place has been a whole circus, and probably going to be even more circus by the time you listen to this podcast. So I do think it's a two-horse race.
Reach, you're all about distractions and off-the-field issues that could affect the team. What about Dak Prescott's brother tweeting earlier this week that that he's angry with the way that the contract situation didn't work out? Is that going to affect Dak Prescott, the Cowboys, blah, blah, blah?
Dak Prescott is going to watch highlights of Joe Flacco in 2012, be like, all right, that guy bet on himself, and he got himself a monstrous contract, and that's what Dak's going to do. I think he's going to go out and have a great year. But
that is, it takes 5 minutes to watch those highlights of Joe Flacco, so that's good.
And they're all in the playoffs.
Would you rather have the Cowboys and Redskins or Eagles and Giants if you got to come away with a division winner?
Oh. I mean, no, because it doesn't matter. Whoever gets Washington is automatically that's taking on dead weight.
I mean, you'd be better than the Giants.
How?
What's the math you're doing? Like, neither the Redskins nor the Giants are going to win the division. Are you being like total record?
Total record.
Oh.
I was putting the Cowboys, who I think is probably the better team than the Eagles right now, just on the roster, ahead of with the Redskins, who I think is probably the worst team.
Yeah, total record, that's a different story. I thought you meant, you know, which...
I said division winner, but total record's a better idea, so let's roll with that.
Breach, you can go first. I have to think about this.
I'll take Dallas and Washington.
I'm going to take the Giants and Joe Judge and who should have been the best coach in the NFL, Doug Peterson.
Sean's list.
I think I would go with the... I would go to the Cowboys. I trust Ron Rivera a little bit more than Joe Judge just because.
Wait a second. Ron Rivera, when this podcast comes out, could be dealing with a whole different set of circumstances than just coaching a football team.
And that's before he's even coached a game with his new team.
And Foster.
You're suggesting that there could be crazy turmoil inside the building that Ron Rivera works in?
By the end of the weekend, Ron Rivera might be the owner of the team because that's the only person left by default.
There's only one coach who's really who's dealt with what the rumblings are that's coming out of Washington, and it's Ron Rivera because he dealt with it in something similar in Carolina. He went through an ownership sale.
I literally have no idea what's going on in Washington. Like
I think that Ron Rivera will be able to compartmentalize some stuff, and they have he's brought in a whole new front office, like a bunch of front office guys. So I think we'll see how everything plays out in Washington, but Joe Judge is an unknown commodity when it comes to coaching. Ron Rivera is a known commodity, and I think he has a higher floor. Mike McCarthy
just got fired. I mean, I love Ron Rivera, but the reality is he got fired recently.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, all I'm saying is that I would take the Redskins and the Cowboys over the Eagles and the Giants because I trust Ron Rivera more than I trust Joe Judge. And I think Mike McCarthy, I like what the Cowboys are doing
To use Ryan's point, though, Mike McCarthy just got fired, Ryan. How do you feel about that?
I didn't pick him. I picked the Eagles.
Yeah, then I'm sticking with my two fired coaches.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens.
That's a good question. Mike McCarthy ain't going to be worse than Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett stunk. like a.
Wouldn't it be crazy if the Cowboys go like 6-10 and Jason Garrett was actually good? And the Giants go 9-7. Yeah.
All right. You know what? We're doing exactly what the NFL likes to do, which is take this little turd of a division, polish it up and jam it down your throat every week by putting these teams on primetime. So you know what? We're done talking about this crap division.
Number seven. This was the division that ranked last in 2019. They lose Tom Brady and they move up a spot, and that is the AFC East. You know, I think the Bills are better. I think the Jets are better. The Dolphins revamped like their entire roster, and you know, the Patriots have Cam Newton. So I think that you put this division ahead of the NFC East. And also the AFC East actually played the NFC East last year and they went 11-5 against them. So I just couldn't put the AFC East below the NFC. So the AFC East is at 7.
I feel like this is too low. I think the AFC East, I mean, Brinson's been talking up the Jets. I don't know if he's serious or not, but earlier in the spring he was talking them up. And I think they're going to be better. I think Adam Gase is obviously the big question mark, but I think Sam Darnold's going to be better. The offensive line will be better. They should be better in terms of offensive weapons. What do you got, Breach?
I got a question for you saying that it's 2-0. How many Super Bowl contenders would you say are in this division?
0.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. I'll say like 1 because the Bills are my team to make
the Patriots are a Super Bowl contender.
I'll say one.
Yeah. All right. I'll say 1.75. How about that?
Is there any division that you're looking at above
the Pats?
Above what?
The Bills.
The healthy Cam Newton are a Super Bowl contender.
You don't know if he's healthy, so I said 1.
Okay, so it's 1-1 to 1-2. So let's average that out. That's what 1.3.
No, 1.75 and 2. Brinson's saying.
Why would you average it out?
To get our number for how many teams we think are, I'm going with Wilson's number and your number and my number.
I was going to say,
is there a team ahead of AFC East in these rankings that has a lower number than that for Super Bowl contenders? And I would say no.
But Super Bowl is one thing, but I mean, like if we did total wins, I could see all the teams in this division, especially the Dolphins actually doing a lot better than they did a year ago.
I think any team in this division could potentially go above 500. Like, if the Dolphins did it, I mean, like, if Tua had a breakout season, there's different ways you could, I don't think it'll happen, but, you know, if it did, it wouldn't be stunning. I do not see a path for all four teams in the NFC East to go 500.
And I would argue, and we don't know where the
other division. Are the Dolphins the AFC South? Are the Dolphins?
The AFC South to me, I think, should be 7. I don't know where they are on John. Yeah. I'm getting there, yes, yet. But John, are you done defending the AFC East, or you have more to say?
That's it. I don't think that the AFC East is better than the AFC South.
Also, part of the reason why the AFC East has always been down is because the Patriots just make everybody else look terrible. And so, if the Patriots aren't as good, maybe the other teams sort of rise up a little bit. We'll see.
So, John, let me ask you this, just quickly. Total wins. I know you talked about Super Bowl when you did the averages of where we thought the contenders were. Total wins, is that different? Total wins in the division?
You mean, yeah, if we add them all up and see who has the most? I mean, you can do that, but I look at it from non-divisional wins because if you do total wins, right? So say the Patriots go 12-4.
No, the way you want to do it, that's fine. Non-divisional, just wins in general compared.
Because there's going to be 12 wins in there against your division that is every division gets, if that makes sense, because there has to be 12 division wins between the four teams. So looking at it from an out-of-division perspective, like the AFC East wasn't bad. They went 22-18 in non-divisional games last year. And Ryan, I know you compared them to the AFC South. We won't say where they're ranked yet, but I will say the AFC South went 20-20 in non-divisional games. So the AFC East was 2 games better.
I knew it.
But to that comparison, I would say that I feel like the AFC South has 3 very legitimate playoff contenders and the AFC East does not.
That's
crazy. Number 6.
AFC North. Whoops, Preachers just tell us. AFC North is the number 6. I might say this is too low. I'm a little surprised that you didn't homer up the Bengals a bit here. I feel like all 4 teams could make the playoffs, and I think the Ravens are there's a path for the Bengals to make the playoffs.
What's the path for every team to make the playoffs? But I mean,
not the Redskins, not the Jaguars.
According to the Bengals math you're doing, there is.
If the Bengals were the 7th seed and made the playoffs, would that be the craziest thing in the world?
Yes.
I disagree. I think
in 2020, it would literally be the craziest thing that happens this year.
It would be like the seventh. It's not even like in the discussion with murder hornets.
It would rank way above that.
What did they find the squirrel? What happened to the squirrel the other day? He was diagnosed with something. There's a squirrel.
Bubonic plague.
Bubonic plague.
Yeah. You think that Bengals making the playoffs would be weirder than murder hornets?
Why were they testing a squirrel for bubonic plague? You know, like. That was my question. I didn't even want to click on the story because it was too unfathomable. Who's just grabbing a squirrel and saying, you know what, we need to test this guy for some plague? No, I'm not buying it.
He came in for the COVID test and they gave him the wrong test.
This guy thinks the Jaguars are a Super Bowl contender, but he won't buy into the bubonic plague being like a squirrel having a plague.
Hey, Washington squirrels. There you go. Done and done.
Oh, that's a good one.
Washington plagues.
That would be fitting for this year.
I guess it depends on where you fall on the Browns and the Bengals. Like, I'm a little bit higher on those two teams this year.
Well, no, but I'm just going by 30 years of track record. Sorry to interrupt, Wilson. The Browns haven't been to the playoffs since 2002. The Bengals haven't won a playoff game since 1990. So as much as I would like to think those things are going to turn around, I'm just going by track record.
Did you just sort of tell on yourself there? Because, I mean, you spent a lot of time, like, deluding yourself into the Bengals being good on this podcast, and you just blasted them by saying,
ranking teams, I'll probably have the Bengals at number 4, but when it's overall, I'm being realistic. I'm using my lens here.
So you told on yourself. Okay. All right. Number five.
That I'm a Bengals homer? Everyone knows that.
No, that you don't really believe in the Bengals.
No, I do believe in them.
I mean, like, all right, so we have
not in the division rankings.
We haven't mentioned like five divisions, so you probably think the Bengals are worse than the Jaguars.
I think the Bengals could top out at like 6 or 7 wins, in which would be a huge improvement. But again, you look at, you know, like, what do you think they're going to do against the AFC South? Do you think maybe they could beat the Titans? Maybe they could beat the Colts? Maybe they could beat the Texans? But I think they would be the underdog in all three of those games.
Yeah. Right now, yeah. But they're the fourth worst team.
They would probably be.
Number five. That's where you tell us, Rich.
Yeah,
number five is the division of Patrick Mahomes. The best team in the NFL is in the 5th best division. And you know what is funny is that you look at the Patriots for the past 20 years, and we'd always talk about how bad the AFC East was, and that's part of the reason why the Patriots were able to dominate for so long. And maybe we have that same thing going with the AFC West. Brinson's give me a funny face, but I have the AFC West at number 5.
Should be higher, right?
Yeah, a little low for my taste. I'm not sure that I agree with that.
First of all, Marcus Mariota is going to start. He's going to take that team to the playoffs. I've been on that bandwagon since March.
Drafted him in the Scott Fishbowl late, just because there's no trade. So you need a quarterback super flex. So I'm
all on the Drew Lock bandwagon. If he gets it together, that's going to be a fun team to watch. We know about Pat Mahomes, obviously, and Tyrod Taylor. They're going to run the ball a million times. And
all right, so look, let's compare. Who would you rather have, the Chiefs and pick your AFC South team?
The Chiefs win that argument easy.
Right. So who's the number one team in the AFC South for you? The Colts or the Titans or the Texans? And the AFC South is number 4. That's sort of where I'm going with this.
Colts are my
favorite. All right. So let's say the Colts because they're the favorite. Chiefs are better than the Colts. We all agree that. Even me, the Philip Rivers Homer, agrees that that is true. The number 2 team we'll say in the AFC West is the Chargers.
Brinson, before you finish this comparison, because I know where it's going, let me just say.
It's pretty obvious I'm comparing the teams.
Let me just say that.
These teams
were neck and neck, and the AFC South got the nod because these two divisions played each other last year. The AFC South went 10-6 against the AFC West, and the Chiefs went 1-3 against the AFC South, and all 4 of those games, Patrick Mahomes was playing.
I'm going to get ready. Cue up the dunk up music, because the worst player from the AFC West got signed in the AFC South to play for the best team in the AFC South.
So now the AFC South is better, and they dominated the AFC West last year.
How is the AFC South better if they got the worst player?
Because they went 10-6 against the AFC West. Like, what more do you want? That's 16 games of a sample size. They went 10-6.
Six says it's a small sample size.
No, 16 games is a full NFL season.
Wait. The AFC
South went 10-6 against the AFC West.
16 games against each other last year?
Yes. Each team plays each other four times. The Chiefs played all four teams in the South. The Broncos played all.
Where did the Chiefs go?
1-3.
Okay, so by your claim, then, the Chiefs are the worst team in the AFC West.
No, that's not my claim.
And, this is the only record that matters. But by the way, the Chiefs went 1-3.
And that's why the AFC South is ahead of the AFC West.
They have Philip Rivers.
The Raiders are 0-14 against good teams under John Gruden, teams that eventually made the playoffs.
They're in Vegas now. It's different.
So they moved during a pandemic. Nobody wants to do that.
I will say that I think the floor for the non-Chiefs AFC West teams is lower than we've sort of been letting on. Like the Broncos, Chargers, and Raiders could all stink.
If Drew Lock stinks, that's a huge issue. Tyrod Taylor, I would imagine he's not going to be super exciting. Justin Herbert plays, that's going to be a huge issue. If Marcus Mariota plays, that means something went wrong with Derek Carr, and that's potentially a problem. I'll grant you that.
And I will say about Drew Lock, his four wins last year came against teams that went a combined 23-40-1. Basically all bad teams.
A counterpoint. Do you know who plays in the AFC West?
Patrick Mahomes.
No.
Tyrann Mathieu. Tyrann Mathieu.
That's right, the honey.
Oh, man. Tyrann Mathieu.
I can listen to it all day.
Tyrann Mathieu. Devo, when do I get the roadcaster so I can pump out my own clips? Tyrann Mathieu.
You're done, Devo.
Oh, my side. I'm cramping up.
That would be great if you actually died from laughing at Breach, like literally.
What killed him? A honey badger.
Yeah, honey.
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll tell you the top three divisions of football.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Now, people who are paying attention to this podcast probably figure out that the only three divisions left are in the NFC. Which I think is interesting. Last year, probably a similar setup, right, Breach? In terms of, like, the NFC, I think, was considered, maybe the AFC was top heavy and better in terms of the elite teams with the Ravens and the Chiefs, but, like, as a whole, the NFC was much, much more dangerous.
Oh, yeah. I mean, cause think about it. When people were making Super Bowl picks last year, it's either going to be the Patriots or the Chiefs. Obviously, nobody knew Lamar was going to be as awesome as he was in a full season. And the AFC was so top heavy, but the NFC is just wide open. It does seem like they have all the power teams. And I would just say, just in case it wasn't clear, the fourth ranked division here is the NFC South. I know we argued about it, but I don't think we actually said it. So now let's jump in the top three. Number three is the NFC North.
Go ahead.
That's it. So I'm going to listen to you guys. I'm going to let you have the floor, and I'll tell you why you're wrong.
Well, I think Spanky Wagman would disagree with this because Aaron Rodgers, he has a hatred for Aaron Rodgers. But I don't hate
this. I will miss Sean. I will not miss Sean's little – like that little face and like noises he made before he launched into like a little Aaron Rodgers spiel. He's like, well, as you know, I'm not an Aaron Rodgers fan.
Tom, Star Wars is not that nerdy.
No, Star Wars is not that nerdy.
maybe that soundbite will stick around.
The one thing.
I was going to say the Packers are probably going to come back to earth. I think the Bears, I don't know why Bears fans are buying into Nick Foles being a good thing. Like, I don't buy the Bears. I think the Vikings are going to take a step back and maybe the Lions are a little bit better than people think, but this could be four mediocre teams. I think this is way too high.
That's a weird take. You have all the good teams regressing and then you have the Lions perhaps getting better.
I have like a sneaky suspicion the Lions win.
Well, tell Matt Patricia he would love to hear some good news.
At like 7-8-1. This is way too high.
I don't know, but I also feel like this is the – if there is one of maybe two divisions that could produce four teams that all finish 500 or better. I could see the Lions going 8-8. I could see the Bears going 10-6. The Packers, even if the Packers regress, they could go 10-6. That's three wins worse than last season. The Vikings could regress and go 9-7. So I think there is, Wilson. I don't think this team's not, this division's Wilson. Not number two. Stop it's number three.
Wilson. Ravens or Packers?
Ravens.
Steelers or Vikings?
That's a little closer. Big Ben's healthy. I'll say Steelers by a nose.
I would agree with you there. Bears. Or Browns?
Ish, that's, I mean, on paper, the Browns, but I'll go with the Bears.
Okay. And Bengals or Lions?
I would actually take the Bengals because I think Joe Burrow.
I agree with you on all four of those, and therefore breaches ranking of the NFC North. Number three is total crap.
Whoa! Oh! What a big slam! Wallace took it in his hands and said, "I'm up and away, Dixie Doo, Dunkaroo."
Reach has this coming because
I'm not liking that Dickie V sounds up. I don't know.
I think just listening to it 30 seconds every 3 minutes. But Reach has this coming because he only did the kicker rankings. No one's yelling at you about kicker rankings. Mm. So he deserves – my goal is to make Reach cry without touching him as we go.
Number two.
Oh, boy. Number two is the NFC South, which –
I feel like you're about to say I regret ranking the number two.
Oh no, I don't at all. I actually like this ranking because it seems pretty obvious to me. You take out Jameis Winston, you add Tom Brady, that makes the Buccaneers good. The Falcons should be good. The biggest question mark is the Panthers. They're probably not going to be great, but the Saints are probably the Super Bowl contender out of the NFC, just because of the continuity and nobody's had any OTAs or minicamp. So, you know, and obviously the Buccaneers are a Super Bowl contender and yeah. I think three of these four teams could finish above 500.
You're a lot higher on the Falcons than I am.
Yeah, I'm sort of weird. Why are you high on the Falcons? The other two teams obviously are going to be.
Why do people just be like, yeah, the Falcons are just going to be better? Why? Because they signed Todd Gurley and Laquon Treadwell?
You have 11 first rounders, Branson.
If we're in our nickel formation, which we will be 30% of the time, whereas we're going to force feed Todd Gurley.
I mean, look, the offensive line should be better if they're healthy. Whatever. We talk about this all the time. The defense, I don't know if the defense is going to be better. They struggled.
Why is that defense going to be better? Because they, because they promoted Raheem Morris to the defensive coordinator? I don't buy it.
The Panthers are not going to be good. So, but I mean,
I think the Panthers will be entertaining.
Yeah. Since, I don't know.
I think the offense will be entertaining to watch.
Maybe.
Their defense is going to suck.
I don't hate the NFC South at number two. I would just question.
Like, what do you think the Falcons' final record is going to be?
7-9, 8-1.
Okay, well, that's not worse.
That's also not.
They went 7-9 last year.
You said three
500
teams.
Or better, and that's one game better. That's not that out of far fetched to me. You really don't think the Falcons are going to could finish 8-8?
They could.
Of course, they could. They finished 9-7. They finished 12-4.
They might go 16-2.
They can finish 10-2 if the pandemic cuts the season short. They can finish 0-0. Anything's on the table except 16-0 and probably the playoffs.
Oh, number one.
Number one is the only division left. NFC West is the best. There you go, guys. That's the whole ranking. It is over and it is the best because Sean McVay is the coach in the division and he's the number one coach in the NFL.
That was
according to Sean Wagner-McGuff.
I was going to say, if you think that, I must change your opinion. What's the worst team in the division is the question I'm getting to.
Either the Cardinals or the Rams, but.
You got to pick one, though.
If I'm getting odds.
Yeah, give yourself.
I would take the Rams because I think the Rams would be like 4-1 to finish last place in the division. Yeah. If you were like, hey, pick the team that finishes last in this division or you die. I would probably take the Cardinals.
Fair enough.
Now, here is the crazy thing is that I think the only two divisions we agreed on were the NFC East and AFC East being the two worst. We mostly agreed on that, right?
Sure.
You guys diced me up from 6-3.
I agree on the NFC West, and I agree on the NFC East.
Well, I'm saying that because the NFC West, those teams are playing the NFC East and the AFC East this year. So they're playing the two easiest divisions. So if you're looking at, division that could potentially put all four teams in the playoffs. Because I know we've been talking about, hey, maybe three of these teams could finish above 500.
Yeah, we did a mailbag question like last week where somebody asked us if all four teams could get in.
Well, right. And now we can do a slightly deeper dive because you're looking at who they're playing on their schedule. They're playing
the two easy.
Well, we didn't bring it up, Brinson. Boom. Dunk, dunk.
You hit the wrong button.
That's why I thought I heard crickets.
You accidentally played the crickets?
Yeah, you did.
I'm literally going to get pet crickets, and I'm going to have them chirp every time Brinson says anything.
Oh, like getting a cat.
What do you feed crickets?
We got chipmunks tearing up our yard. I think about getting a cat to kill them all.
But that is part of the reason why I think the NFC West could produce four playoff teams in the new 17 playoff field is because they are playing the NFC East and they are playing the AFC East.
All right. I give Breach a C-minus for this list.
A C-minus? This is B-plus minimum.
I give Ryan a B-minus for his C-minus because it should have been a D-plus. My top three divisions, I would have NFC West one. I think that is correct. I think I would actually go – I might go with the AFC West at number two.
Yowzers.
Yeah, I know, right? No, you know what? I take that back.
The AFC West that went 6-10 against the AFC South.
Oh, you hate to see it.
You want the
John? Where's the dunk button? Do I get Debo? Where's my dunk button?
Sadly, this is up to Will's control, which was obviously a mistake on my part. Not part.
Debo didn't play that one. No.
Yes.
I am getting a roadcaster though, so I'll have equal opportunity to give you some representation. Breach.
Wait, so at some point we could be in a situation where like literally. Every person on the podcast can play soundtracks. That's a mistake.
Do your three, Brinson, so we can get out of here. We have stuff to do.
NFC West 1, AFC West 2, AFC North 3.
Yeah, I'll just see it. The AFC West there is bold.
I mean, the Chiefs are the best team in football. The Chargers, I think, will have a very high floor. I don't see them totally cratering.
They won't. They'll be boring. They'll win 7 or 8 games.
That might be true. Maybe I should go with the.
I don't hate this.
I don't hate the NFC South there.
I might put the AFC North at number three, but Breach did a pretty good job.
Thanks, Scott. Oh, so a C minus, pretty good job. Can we up it to a C plus, please?
I'm a hard grader. You did a good job.
For the record,
you get a C minus and a smiley face on the paper.
All right, I'll take that.
What kind of a hole teacher is like C minus smiley face? Yeah, good job though.
No one who hates the job.
All right, we're getting out of here. We got more stuff to do. Mailbag podcast coming on Monday. And you feel free to tweet us if you think something happens on today, Friday, that is worth an emergency podcast. By the way, I don't know if you guys know this. Debo got a new Twitter handle.
Oh, he did? What is it?
@DeboCBS. He's debating whether to make the switch. He's sort of waffling on whether or not he wants to go all in.
Twitter will also dictate that one, as previously discussed.
But that's why you need to switch it now so you don't get the DMCA takedown.
Yeah.
Go follow him @DeboCBS. D-E-B-O-C-B-S?
Two E's. I'm taking control of it now. I'm not allowing people to tell me how to spell my name.
Oh, good to know.
So you're going
to
have two Twitter accounts?
Yeah, as I explained to Brinson on a previous pod, it might not be up to me if I keep my old one because of some notices I've received from Universal Music Group and some movie companies.
Hey, how great was Twitter for that hot minute where the blue check marks couldn't tweet?
That was my favorite time ever because you couldn't tweet.
So here's something funny.
I paid Spencer Hall $10 to tweet for me.
I'm following Debo CBS and he's not following me. Interesting.
Oh, man.
Sounds like Instagram about 4 months ago, Ryan.
No.
Hey, joke's on you. He's not following you guys either.
I'm not following him.
I'm not following him either. I don't follow anyone unless they have 5,000 followers.
Follow us to the end of the podcast. The show's over. See you later.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.